بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فسنستدرجهم من حيث لا يعلمون. Gradually we'll bring them down in stages, so discreetly and gradually that they themselves will not realize. This is called istidraj. Istidraj is, in simple words, a retrogress. But the retrogress will be done so discreetly that the individual doesn't realize that he's being demoted, is being put down. Now, when does this come about? Important thing is this istidraj. And when does that come about? One is, it happens to the kafir all the time. He's blessed with worldly wealth, glory, health, children, and publicity, respect. So he begins to think that if I was rejected, then I wouldn't have been blessed like this. The fact that I've got this is indicative that I am blessed. So this is how he thinks. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. I got so much. If I have to be coming, I have to go into the hereafter first. I don't believe in a thing like the hereafter. But if there were a thing like the hereafter, then I'll find a better abode there. So this is how he is made to think. Fir'aun had lived, according to some reports, for more than 300 years. But for over 200 years, he never suffered a headache. Yet he would call himself, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ. I am your God Supreme. With all the wrong, the mischief that he was perpetrating, killing away innocent little born children, but he never suffered a headache for over 200 years. So, this demotion, one is promotion, one is demotion, comes in so subtly that the individual doesn't even realize that he's being furthered away, he's being distanced, he doesn't even realize. Can happen to a Muslim as well. A kafir, we see it, it's happening, right? In Surah Kahf, Allah gives the story. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. See my wealth, my investments, my properties. مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِي أَبَدًا. I can't imagine, I don't believe this will ever perish. مَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ. I don't understand, I don't think there's a thing like Qiyamah. So, when you are drunken with wealth, that's how you think. There's two things that happen. When a person is drunken in wealth, then he can't see him separated from that wealth. You know, this is going to carry on. Yet he sees around him someone dying, someone getting sick, ill, incapacitated. You see all these things around. But in the stupor and the drunkenness of wealth, you don't believe that this can ever happen to you. That's what happens. مَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً. And then you also begin to think that Qiyamah is one of those things. It's not a serious thing. There isn't a thing like Qiyamah. It's just an imagination. So you will be led to think in this way. And you will say, all right, those that talk about Qiyamah, then it is just a targhib, just to encourage you to go towards good. So they tell you, all right, you'll do this, you'll get this reward. You don't do this, then you'll get this punishment. So this is just for the public, just to hamjawa them, just to make them understand. Otherwise, there is no such a thing like Qiyamah and Jannat and Jahannam. So this is how they are led to think. So this is one type of istidraj that happens to the kafir. Right? And there's an istidraj that happens to a Muslim as well. Okay. He also is made to fall very gradually. Now, in the path of righteousness, when a person commits a mistake, the mistake generally is because of bi'adbi. The bi'adbi, the disrespect, is because of one of three reasons. Primarily, maybe others, but primarily three reasons. One is that you uttered something that was inappropriate, that amounted to disrespect. The utterance was not right. And you didn't take it seriously, but Allah Ta'ala takes a note of it, sees the statement that you made. One person is sitting to make zikr, and that zikr will not just flow. His routine was that when he used to sit down, and the zikr just flows. Now he's sitting down and there's no flow. Like in etikaf, when we are sitting, then we find a motivation, drive, right? Man is sitting here, but he can't find the flow. No, nothing happening to him. So he cried to Allah Ta'ala. After some times, it was shown to him, see, so and so occasion, this was the word that you used, and because of this word, you are now being punished. See, now he made tawbah. He didn't realize, okay, what was the reason for the stoppage? Why was his tongue locked up? What happened? So something inappropriate, you spoke about something that was inappropriate. Now, we find many of these incidents in the Ashab al-Suffa, those people that had dedicated themselves to ibadat and to ta'lim. So up to this day, you find a place in the Masjid al-Nabawi that was like reserved for them. So that place is called Ashab al-Suffa, somewhere behind the Rose Mubarak. To your left, you'll find a raised platform. So that place is called Ashab al-Suffa. So one of these Ashab al-Suffa had to pass away. And as they were doing his ghusl, they found two or three dinars with him. So Nabi Sam explained, dinar, kayyum minan nar, dinaran, kayyani minan nar. One dinar, one brand of fire. And two dinars and two brands of fire. Now, the question that comes out after that is, one dinar or two dinars is less than the nisab of zakat, less than the threshold of zakat. When it's less than the threshold, then why is this person being burnt with one brand of fire or two brands of fire? So, people have given different explanations, but I think it was Qazi Sanaullah Sahib, he gave an explanation. He says that this Ashab al-Suffa, their zahir, their attire, their appearance showed as though they were totally dedicated. They had nothing to do with the dunya. So when the appearance showed that they had nothing to do with the dunya, right, disinterested, they were nothing to do with the dunya, this was an outward contradiction. If you had nothing to do with the dunya, then how does this two or three dinar come up? Where did this come from? You say you got nothing to do with the dunya, then where did this come? So there wasn't that full conformity as you made it appear. So because there wasn't that consistency in that appearance, so therefore you're being stroked with one brand, stroked with two brands. So sometimes when you're doing something but you don't realize that there's going to be a consequence. You did something, you said something, and then you realize, hey, what I said, what happened? Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, was moving on with his murids, and they came across one beautiful, handsome Christian lad, see, very attractive. So one of the murids saw this child and he got attracted. Obviously, a boy got a little bit of girlish features, so some person that is not wary and not careful, he can get attracted. So he got attracted. In that attraction, he says, will Allah Ta'ala put such a beautiful face into Jahannam as well? So the Junaid rahmatullahi asked, yes, but did you admire this child? He said, yes, I admire the child. So well, phir uska khamyaza bhugatna hoga. Then you have to suffer the consequence. So you've done this, now the consequence of this you'll have to suffer. So they say after 40 years, he forgot the entire Quran Sharif. See, this is istidraj, and it comes gradually, very discreetly, very, very subtly. So therefore they say, see, one is a person is still on the road, and the other is who's reached fana'i-tam. When it's fana'i-tam, that takes quite a bit of time, sometimes 30 years, 40 years to get fana'i-tam. So, but you're on the road, the person that's on the road has to be very, very careful, very cautious. Small things may appear small to him, but it's not really small. See, as we say, Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyatul Muqarrabin. It may seem to be small, but by Allah Ta'ala, it's taken very, very seriously. For the one person, it may be fine, but for the next person, we're not going to tolerate this. Because the refinement of your soul doesn't warrant this type of behavior. See, like if, just to show, just put you in the picture, a simple illustration. Someone wears a little bit of decent clothing. Say he wears a shirt and a pant, right? Nothing that is too fancy or not body hugging. So we will not say much about him. Will we run him down? Generally, if it's modest clothing, is not too body hugging, so we will not condemn the person for this type of an attire. But say, for example, a mullah wear this clothes and come to the masjid, then now will you accept this? Why? So for one person you got a different standard, for the next person you got a different standard. This is what is called Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyatul Muqarrabin. One person said, alright, not a problem. But for the next person, that same thing is not acceptable. You don't want to take it on. Okay. So, this istidraj comes in different ways. See, slowly, slowly. So, the person that's on the path, he must be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Small thing, big thing, utterances. So there's about three examples that they've given. Ibn Atta Iskandari is given for istihraj. What is this? What I explained now. You know, you're not careful of the utterances that you make. Something can amount to the disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like you heard about that person in Makkah Mukarrama, and he had to say that this thing of Christianity is so good that you don't need to have a compulsory ritual bath. Right. But now he's taken to task for it. You see that outwardly the statement seems to be insignificant outwardly, but now see how he's been taken to task. So as you're coming on the path, be careful. Be careful, especially about things that will amount to disrespect, disregard. The moment you realize, then rectify yourself, correct yourself. Don't try and justify. Our Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah should say, for example, a person went to the toilet, but he forgot to recite the dua, or he forgot that he entered the toilet with the right. And it's in a hurry and he just did something. So, but you come to your realization that I've made a mistake, come out, and then go again with the left leg. He would say that you will find a distinct noor in your heart. just correcting yourself, you will find a distinct nur. Although it may, you may be humbling yourself that I missed out the sunnah and I must come out again and re-enter, right? Re-entry. So outwardly it may seem that you are humbling yourself, but you will find a distinct nur, a distinct light in your heart, you'll find. But you missed it out, no, just correct yourself. So someone goes and sees, then he'll find a lot of examples that will illustrate the same point. This famous story of Abu Abdullah Undulusi, rahimahullah, right? Great sheikh, and so many murids, and muhaddis, great muhaddis, great alim. And then something had to just come out of his tongue. Then he just brought down, see. So many thousands of murids, so many followers. He knows the Quran Sharif in different styles. He's a muhaddis. He's a great Sufi, he's right. And then something has to come out from his mouth, and then he's just made to fall. See, he had to see some Christians or some idolaters, and then it came out of his tongue. Hey, see how stupid these people are. Things that they have carved of their own hands, and they're worshipping it. And see me, we are worshipping just one Allah Ta'ala. Alright, what they were doing was stupid. Right? But to attribute the achievement to yourself, that me, I did this. For a moment, you have lost sight of Allah Ta'ala, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, that I am here. Otherwise, if the grace of Allah Ta'ala shifted away, then you would be no better than him. The Sahaba Kiram also understood this. They said, لَوْلَ اللَّهُ مَهْتَدَيْنَا وَمَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَمَا صَلَّيْنَا. Same thing they're saying. But if it was not the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we wouldn't have been here. We have performed a single namaz, we have given a single cent in charity. See that? لَوْلَ اللَّهُ مَهْتَدَيْنَا. That's a sign of a kamal, ahl kamil, see? Kamil. So when he's kamil, he won't make a mistake. And the person that is not kamil, not fana itam, he's going to make mistakes. It's going to be sometimes serious mistakes. So the need for him to be very cautious. As you see progress, you see wealth coming in, you see people respecting you, you're not yet kamil, but you see wealth coming in, see people respecting, someone is coming to make dua, somebody is making to make tahniq, make damya, right? You can see that you still are a long way before the end. Before the winning mark, you are a long way before that. And you see all these things happening. So you don't consider yourself that I'm also qad wasaltu. Maybe wahan par pahunch gaya, I've already reached it. Don't think like that. You have this thing that the easiest way is khuda ta'ala ya teri sattari hai. It's the easiest way to overcome that. Allah Pak, it is just your cover. You have covered me, so what they're respecting is your cover. You're not respecting me. If they're respecting, it's the cover that they are respecting. Otherwise, myself, they're not respecting. They don't know. Mawlana Habibur Rahman Azami, Sheikh al Hadith, right? One place he says, Awam ki ihtiram ka kya ihtibar? Yeah? Awam ki ihtiram ka kya ihtibar? You cannot trust the respect of the public. Public will give you some respect, but you cannot rely on this. This is, jahan kisi ki ihtiram karte hai, to usko suraiya tak pahunchate hai. Where they want to show respect to someone, they will take him right to the heavens, so high they'll take him up. Exonerate him, put him right up. No end, right? And some slightest thing happened, and the way they will drop him, like he never existed. Then he gave an example. The example seemed to be a little bit not too refined, but I don't think there's a better way to express it. Sometimes the examples they give, right, is very natural, but they don't seem to be too refined. Right? This is like an S and the private area. Right? So when it's got an erection, it carries on, you know, like it's carrying on, غير متناهي, moving on and on and on, right? So now that's a sign of exoneration. He's taking so big, so big. But when it disappears, like he's got nothing. So it's well expressed, although you can't go and give this example on a Juba platform, right? Don't think you'll give this example at a Juba platform. This is a private gathering you give it. So the public respecting, don't take it serious. They'll respect you today, tomorrow they'll drop you down. So that's no yardstick. It's not a gate to see whether you are accepted by Allah Ta'ala or not. Because it happened to him once. I think he had a bayan somewhere. I don't know where it was. Gorakhpur or where it was. So when he came in for the first time, so he had a reception, and the reception was still about 5 kilometers. People are coming, seeing so much. Rickshaws, cars, buses. So they all are receiving him. Right. So that was the first time. But the second time he had to go for some private work of his, no reception, absolutely nothing. They don't even know that there is a person like Maulana Habib Rahman Sahab. First time when he went, so much of reception they gave. And the next time, people don't even know that there is a person like Maulana Habib Rahman Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. So this public accepting you, recognizing you, don't take that serious at all. People, many times people get fooled, they get duped, right? Was it? Let's talk a little bit of a lighter side, right? One person had a child, really it happened in India. So the child's name they kept Mashallah. Second one, Inshallah. Third one, Tabarakallah. Fourth one, Subhanallah. And the last one he kept was Alhamdulillah. Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, they said, when they kept that child's name Alhamdulillah, he said, Ab uski koi aulad nahi hogi. He's not going to have any children after this. So they asked Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, that how did you say that he's not going to have any children? And he didn't have any children after that. After Alhamdulillah, no children. India, they have some strange names. One person got one daughter, so he kept a name, second one, third one. The fourth daughter he got, he says, Baskar Ilahi. Both of you. Gujarati, they say, both of you. So he said, Baskar Ilahi. So four daughters now, no sons. So they asked Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, how did you get to this that he's not going to have any children after that? He said, it was an intuition that I had, and my mind went straight to the ayat, وَآخِرُ دَعْوَاهُمْ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So I understood that this is last. No children afterwards. So some people, Allah Akbar, communicates with them in this way. That happened again with the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi. Very refined temperament, very, very understanding. To get a person like that, I don't think you'll get someone like that in 500 years. So understanding. So it happened to him. One person came up to him and he says, I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming into my home in royal attire. Right? I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entering my home in royal attire. He said, hey, go straight and empty your home straight. Just go quickly. So he went and he emptied the house straight. As he emptied the house, that whole slab just collapsed. The whole thing just collapsed. So they asked him, Hazrat, how do you connect this? He saw Nabi Sam coming in royal attire into the house, and then you translated it that this whole house is going to collapse, and therefore you instructed that the house must be emptied. He says, when the person related the dream, then my mind went into this verse, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا. Kings, when they have to enter into a town, then they demolish it, they break it down. So my mind went straight to this verse here, royal attire and entering, and then this thing's going to break. So therefore I said, come out quickly. So we're talking of Istidraj. And I spoke about Abu Abdullah Undulusi, Rahimahullah. So sometimes in that heat of piety, you may just say something and you don't realize that you're saying something. So therefore, the person that's on the path has to be very cautious, very, very careful what I'm saying. Is it right, not right? What I'm doing, my behavior, my action. Because sometimes Allah Ta'ala just withdraws that. One person, he said something that was inappropriate. And when he said that which was inappropriate, then for 6 months he got deprived of his tahajjud namaz. See, one word. And that word was not suitable. But it just came out of his tongue there. So the type of caution that you need to exercise. Nowadays there's such a multitude of wrong that you don't know where to start from. On the one side is the aspects of shirk, bid'at, right? People are not cautious in that regard as well. Like, for example, you want to send a letter, right, and you want that letter to reach safety, right, safely. You write a letter, or you're sending a gift or something expensive, sending it across, so you want that thing to reach safely. So the custom in India is bahakke ma'roof karhi, right there, at the end, through the blessings of ma'ruf kharqi, that you must reach. So now, they show the reason for this practice, why they write the bahakke ma'ruf karhi. They show that it happened that one person, his wall was collapsing. So, she just said, Bahakke Ma'ruf Karhi. It was the blessings of Ma'ruf Karhi, and this thing was stand. So the wall remained for about 50, 60 years. After 60 years, so this person saw in the dream, you know what? Ma'ruf Karhi is telling him, he was a great saintly person. I'm supporting your wall enough now. Now, I couldn't move from this place here for 60 years because I had to keep this thing standing. So now, I'm giving you 2 weeks now. In 2 weeks' time, you need to move away. So in 2 weeks' time, that wall collapsed. Now, all these are all fabrications. See? So we know of Ma'ruf Karhi being a saint and a wali of Allah Ta'ala. We don't know him of being a builder and holding walls and all that. Now, before he was a buzurg, now he's supporting walls. What do they call it? Pillars, yeah. Like a pillar now, so to support a wall. Right. So one, you know, you have a season, like how in South Africa you have a season. Right? Maybe December, January is a season. Things get very busy, right? So you have to be there. So around the busy season, this person, he leaves everything and he comes for some celebration. So his friend is asking him, "Bhai, it's a busy season and we left everything and came for the celebration. You know, this is a season, you can't leave your business." So, "No, now I just left my business to, I just assigned it to a peer on a peer, you know, to Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali. And I came, that will sort itself." So it was someone, Abdul Haq Sahib. So people didn't like how he would say, but he would say the right thing. Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah says, "You know, up till now, I know Piran Pir Sahib to be a great wali. Right? But now I understand that he's also a manager of the shops here. In your absence, he manages your shop." The man didn't like it, but it was the right answer. See, there's an element of shirk in all this thing here. Very fine element of shirk in this thing. Makkah Mukarrama, one person, two brothers had a shop, you see. So, the one brother, when he would have to just move away for something, so he will say that I assigned the shop to Pirana Pir. So for that years that he was doing business, no burglary, nothing. The younger brother didn't like this. You know, what is I assigned it to Pirana Pir? He's not a security, not a. So how do you assign it to him? You assign things to Allah Ta'ala. How do you assign it to him? So anyway, the elder brother was gone. And the younger brother, he came and he had to manage the shop. Whilst managing the shop, he had to go for some of his work. Now, he had to go for some of his work. Instead of saying, "I assign it to Piran e Pir," he said, "I assign it to Allah Ta'ala." Now, there was a robbery. So, these are all fabricated stories, you see. Now, this thing circulates. They make their rounds. And say, "Yeah, hey. Don't take chance, eh? Give it to Piran e Pir." See. So now there was a robbery, so the elder brother came in. "So what happened?" "So it was a robbery." "But what happened? Didn't you say that I assigned it to Piran e Pir?" "No, I didn't say that because that sounds like shirk." "So what did you say?" "No, I assigned it to Allah Ta'ala." "Why did you say that?" "You know, Piran e Pir is mukallaf, you see, he's answerable. Allah Pak is not mukallaf, he's not answerable to anybody. Piran e Pir is answerable. If you've given him anything, then he's answerable. Answerable to you, answerable to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala is not mukallaf." Now, they make all these stories here. And they confuse the minds of the awam. Sometimes the Taoists write, "Bahakka Jibreel, Hakka Mikail." Now, these all, they are giving some type of a flavor of shirk. Therefore, one time when he saw this in the Tawis, then he corrected that. He said, "Rabba Jibra'il wa Rabba Mika'il," not Jibra'il. See this shirk, this subtle shirk. And people don't realize, the people that are writing this thing, they say, "Oh, I copied from him and he copied from so and so." So, we just have to continue in the way that we saw. Whether there's shirk there, there's nothing, whatever is happening, let it carry on. It's got its effect. So be careful about these things. When we have got Quran, Hadith, right, when we've got the Sahaba-i-Kiram, why these type of stories that complicate and confuse the minds? The mind is getting confused now. He doesn't know that I must do this or don't do it. So I heard this story, and he heard there was a burglary. So now he doesn't want to experience something like that. Then in that confused mind of his, he will just say things that he's not supposed to be saying. In a state of confusion, he may just say things that he's not supposed to be saying. See this choice of words and all that. How important it is. Important. So sometimes it happens that an individual gets punished in this world. Like you get Abu Abdullah, And he just mentioned those words. So many murids, such a big following, such a great alim. And then he just said, see me. I worship Allah Ta'ala. Don't do these stupid things like this. So as though he attributed the greatness to himself. Allah Pak doesn't like this. Allah Pak can change things around. You can take his position and he can come to your position. One person, gunegar, sharabi, kababi, drinking wine, all type of vice. And he saw Isa al-Islam and a follower of Isa al-Islam. Isa al-Islam, one of his following, one of his sahabi. So when this drunkard, the sinner, he saw Isa al-Islam, he got very affected. Very affected. And it just came out of his mouth, yeah, oh Allah, let me be the sati of Isa al-Islam. Let me be the companion. Let me be his friend as well. So that person that was with Isa al-Islam, he said, oh Allah, let him never be my companion. He is the constant companion of Isa al-Islam. So what he says, let him never be my accomplice, my companion. Both dua's were answered. This person here that cried to be the companion of Isa al-Islam, he became. And that person who said, let him never be my company, he got thrown out. So he didn't get the company of this person, but he got thrown out. So he thought and he considered it's my achievement, me, I. So Allah Ta'ala threw this person out, and this drunkard, he gave him tawbah, tawfiq to correct himself, amend himself, and come on. See? So now sometimes we lose sight of that. That it is not your achievement, it is not your goodness, but it was purely, entirely, that thought must be a conviction, not you, boy. It's not you. When you say Subhanallah, right? Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, that must be the thought in your mind. That Allah Ta'ala ki zaat, yani Mera Rab ba'ib. Mera Rab ba'ib. So what you're implying, a simple understanding, is Mera Rab paak hai, ba'ib, right? Agar Mere Rab ka fazl hai, to main paak ho sakta hoon. Na ho to main aib hi aib hoon. What? Agar na ho to main aib hi aib hoon. If it is the paak, Allah Ta'ala is paak, right? If it is not for his blessings, then I'm full of mistakes. From head to toe, I'm just a mistake. I'm just a problem. I'm just a filth. From head to toe. So that must be the frame of mind. Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. I want to say that Subhanallah is a little bit too high. This is easy. Yeah? Right. So when you said Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, what are you saying? Yeah. Allah Ta'ala ki zaat, Mera Rab, be'ib, Mera Rab, paak hai. Aur agar uski fazal na ho, to main aib hi aib ho. If it is not for his grace, then I'm a total write-off. Finish. Absolute. From head to toe, I'm a write-off. So, you're going to say this thing here all the time with some reflection, then won't this humility sit deep into your heart? You're saying it with that reflection, then will this settle or not? It will settle. But you must say it all the time. Right? If that thought is not coming in deep, for all this Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, at least once in that one posture, once in the second posture. So if the thoughts will come again and again, hey, it's only Allah Ta'ala that is ba'ib. It's only He that is absolutely pure, right? And minus His grace, I am an impurity. Minus His grace, I am a pure impurity. That means what you're implying, that the purity is just His grace, it's not me. It's He. Not me, it is He. So if someone is respecting me, in essence, they are respecting Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala covered me with the veneer of purity. Allah Ta'ala has covered me with the veneer of purity. So the veneer belong to Allah Ta'ala. He covered me, so therefore they respect me. Otherwise, what am I? So this is how you read Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So you want to read at least 3 times in every posture. So can't it come up again? Can't you just bring it again? And then also you understand how important it is to have the mind in this frame. So Allah Pak says, again you will say it in 1 rakat, the 2nd rakat, the 3rd rakat, 4th rakat. If you're doing 20 rakats, then say it in all those rakats. So how important it is to have this frame of mind. Allah Pak is just you. It's your purity. And people are respecting only your purity, it's not me. It's yours. So you're saying it repeatedly. So if someone didn't respect you, what are those things? I'm not worthy of respect. So this is how you look at it. You know, you went somewhere and they didn't give you a warm reception, no hospitality. So, well, I don't deserve it. So what if they didn't give me? So what? I'm not entitled to this. I'm not worthy of it. I am impure. So I'm impure. They didn't want that impurity to be around with them. So they did the right thing. What wrong did they do? And the day they gave you some respect, then you are a little bit surprised. Hey, but his impurity, and where this respect came from? They say, no, it is from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak just put a veneer. So what they're doing is they're respecting the veneer. They're not respecting me, they respect. So you say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Allah Pak put that veneer and they are respecting that veneer, so I appreciate this. So this tasawuf works more on the heart. That's why I think today you read the scales, right? And what will be the weightiest in the scale? So there is the outer dimension of man and the inner dimension of man, right? Now presently as we stand, there is a lot of hype and a lot of fikr for the outer dimension. Outer dimension is in two respects, how you look, right? Right, how you look. A pimple here, or the eczema here, or something not looking nice. So you clean it up straight away. How do you look when you appear before people? And the second great concern is, do you have a face amongst the public? In your reputation. So these are two great concerns. One is that how you look, and number two, your reputation. Right. So that's the greater concern. Everybody's concern. Now, I don't have a face to stand with people. I can't do this now. It leads to such a point, you become so conscious about your external self that if you got an eczema or a sore on your face now, you will not even come to the masjid. How do I look amongst people now? What will people say? See that concern of the external self. So the hadith that I read this morning was saying that that person's scales will be weightiest whose inner self is better than the external self. That means his concern for improving the inner self, the inner dimension, is far greater than the external. Something happened on the external, you're so worried, you can't sleep, you become restless, you become angry, you take off with this one, take off with that one. Why? Reputation is gone. My izzat is gone. So you become so concerned about your external self. Not to say that we don't need some respect, we need, but you see this obsession for izzat, reputation. How do I look amongst people? What people will tell about me, what people will say about me. That goes to such an extent. Like many of the people that commit suicide, then one of the primary reasons is this: I got no reputation amongst people now. Now what's left? I'd rather just end it up now. This is how they think. It's the naivety that they think like this. I got nothing left now, so what's the need to be around? I'd rather be away. It's an obsession. It's a madness. So, you want a reputation. You want izzat. Allah Pak says, "Walillahil izzatu wali rasuli." real respect is with Allah Ta'ala. Real respect. Tu'til mulka man tasha, tu'izzu man tasha, tu'zillu man tasha. So izzat is, fa innal izzata lillah. So honor is with Allah Ta'ala. فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ Izzat is with Allah Ta'ala. So now, when Izzat is with Allah Ta'ala, then why are you worried about your reputation? If something went, Allah Ta'ala can still secure your reputation. He can promote you even higher. See, all right, just an example. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, in the morning he steps out of the house with the intention of assassinating Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Any izzat, would he have had any izzat? Finished, would have been finished, right? By the evening, he made tawbah and all that, and all the glory is with him. Can you see that? The whole Dar al-Arqam is shaking, vibrating with takbir. So all the izzat is turned, you see. So the izzat, where does the izzat come? From above. So you don't think of yourself. You see, this happens, in my understanding, is when the fana is not down. There's no fana. When there's no fana, so you think about yourself. When there's fana, then you think of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala will make this happen, Allah Ta'ala will make this happen. He'll shift this and he'll shift this. So why must I get obsessed if this happens or it doesn't happen? I came out first in the exams, so I'm very, very, very excited. And next year I came out fifth in the exam. Hey, now my izzat is gone. I was here and all that izzat is gone now. See? But why did you think that it belongs to you? And then I have the right to be there. But it was the favor of Allah Ta'ala that focused on you, make shukr for that. Now it moved on to this person here. So what? So it was with him. Then from him it shifted to this one. So why are you so concerned about it? See this. Man kana yuridu al-izzata fa inna al-izzata lillahi jamia. Allah is saying, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me, and not just partly, entirely. Fa inna al-izzata lillahi jamia. Entirely. Complete. So, irrespective of what you are and how you are, if Allah Ta'ala wants to still secure that izzat is still yours. Nobody can take it away. No matter what they do and how they treat you, how they look at you. Right? See, the people of Taif, na'uzubillah, they wanted to ridicule Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? But that same incident of Taif, don't we use it in the praise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What they use it for? They used it for disgracing. But don't we use the same incident to exonerate, to respect, and give him an applaud? Don't we use it? So izzat, where does it come? In your mind? Well, it comes from Allah Ta'ala. So this type of response is because you forgot Allah Ta'ala at that time. And you see, now, what's happened now? What's going to left to me? You know, what people will say? I got a following. What the following will say? See, I got nothing left now. So, where's your yaqeen? Your yaqeen is not in Allah Ta'ala. Make istighfar. Istighfar karo. What you're supposed to be doing, we're not doing that. And what we're not supposed to be doing, we're doing all those stupid things. It's a shallowness of the yaqeen. Is the nazar in Allah Ta'ala is not there. That's the first advice Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives to Hazrat Ibn Abbas. Ihfazillah yahfazka. You take care of Allah Pak. That means whatever Allah Pak wants, you take care of that. The rest of it Allah Pak will do. He will take care of you. Your respect, your wealth, your property. But you see that you take care of Allah Ta'ala. His ahkam, his orders, whatever he wants, his likes, his dislikes, you will take care of that. Then after that, Allah Pak will take care of you. But now, you change the whole portfolio. I'm taking care of myself. My izzat, my reputation. What will people talk about me? Right? And Allah Pak, وَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُ وَرَاءَكُمْ زِهْرِيَّا. You threw him behind the back. So you became the primary person, and Allah becomes the secondary person. And then you want, no, why this thing happened to me? Why it happened to me? See the stupidity. See, your mind goes off. That is why the Quran says, لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِ. Allah doesn't guide the person. Then his heart is blocked off, he can't see. You can't see now, you'll see the right to be wrong, and the wrong to be right. See. But in Saharanpur, where the Sheikh, I spent about 1-2 Ramadan, right? But I can remember every year, this Abu Abdullah Undulusi story must be read there. There is all big Sheikh al-Hadith and ulama, muhtami of madrasas, but that thing must be read. So there must be a reason why he's repeating it, getting it deeper and deeper and deeper into the hearts by understand this thing here. This is the essence. Subhanallah. I just explained what is Subhanallah. Subhanallah Rabbi al-Azim. I just explained that. You got that right, that the basis is right. The basis is right, everything will go right. But that is not right, for nothing right. Everything is flawed. Everything is flawed. See? So get that base right. Otherwise, it is just a... It's just an apparent. Your izzat is just in words, in your imagination. You feel that it's just an appearance of respect. No respect. Really, no respect. As Mufti Abraham was saying, to repeat the story quite often, you know. This apparent izzat is just in appearance. So Mufti had hired the rickshaw. So that rickshaw is taking him now, say about 200 meters before the traffic officer, that rickshaw driver is swearing mother, father, everything, giving to him solid. But as he came in line with the traffic officer, Janab, Hazrat, all the respect that he could show, showed him all the respect. So anyway, when they passed the traffic officer, so Musa asked him, but you know, 200 meters away, this was the foul languages, F and P's and everything used against him. But you came face to face within meters before him, and you showed him so much of respect, you know, as though your heart was coming out with respect. He used the word saleh, you know, bad word, right? He says, you know, for me to be operating on this road every day, I have to give him 10 rupees. I said, I can't operate here. Just to, you know, to see that my business runs, I have to give him every day 10. Haram, he's eating all the time. How am I going to operate here? So you see, to the police officer, it appears as though he's got respect. Doesn't it appear? Right? Doesn't it appear that he's got respect? But just say, for example, for some discrepancy, he got fired. Now this rickshaw driver, what will he do? He'll spit on him. Hey, haram, whole life you had my money. Come pay me back now. Only say that. So it was a real izzat. It was just imaginary. It was just an imagination. It was not real respect. So now, this is what we are fighting for, that imaginary respect. So Allah is saying, فَإِنَّ الْإِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. You want izzat by me, not by this. Munsami, Chinsami, and all that. No, don't look for the izzat there. Look by Allah Ta'ala. So when he had to say that, you know, that see these people here, what despicable people they are. And look at me, I'm muwahid, believing Allah Ta'ala. He says, straight away I saw like a light had just come out of my heart. It's emerged, gone. Now, when that light went out of my heart, now I went and did the most despicable thing. You see this, that izzat is from Allah Ta'ala. When that has to leave, then you do the thing that it's unimaginable. How you can fall so low? How you can do such a thing? You get yourself perplexed. Hey, you know, I did this thing. How could I have done such a thing? Now he fell in love with a Christian girl. Same thing as he was abhorring, disgusting, despising. And then Allah just removed that veneer and left you to yourself. You know, he said, لَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي. He just left you to yourself, and then what happened? All the Muris and all watching, hey, what happened to our Sheikh? Where he was? And what's he running after? And then that girl or the family tells him, you'll have to herd the pigs and swine. Prepare to do that. You'll have to put a cross over your neck. Prepare to do that. But you see where he is, and so Allah is impressing on him. He taught him a lesson, right? But what he's teaching him, that you see that izzat is mine. So understand it's mine, not yours. Don't you become a partner in my thing, what it belongs to me. Al izzatu kibriyai. That izzat is mine, it's my shawl. You pull it out for me, I'll break you. That's the lesson Allah was passing on to him. And look at it, see it now. You've been talking about it now, see it for yourself, that izzat is mine. See that? That izzat is mine. When it's mine, you try to pull it away. When you pull it away, then I assigned you to yourself. When I assigned you to yourself, then see what happened to you. In front of your muris, or see how you're behaving. People that respect you so much, you've got such a big following and a gathering and all that, but see what happened. Now the muris are all, they gone. They met up with the tail part of the story. I read in some other kitab. They gone for Hajj. They were traveling towards Hajj. And they met up with Shibli Rahmatullah Ali in Hajj, right? When they met up with Shibli, then they went, cried now. This is what happened to our Sheikh. Ye ho gaya. Say, bewakufo, ye Sheikh ke saath yehi bartav karte hai. This is how you relate to your Sheikh. Why couldn't you just remain there and cry to Allah at that spot until Allah relieved him from that? Why did you do that? Is that the right? If it was your father, you would have just abandoned him, carried on. You would have cried at the same spot, kept on crying until Allah forgave him, opened his sight and brought him back onto the course. So now the eyes opened out. So they went back, made Tawbah and all that. Meanwhile, Allah inspired the Sheikh's heart again. What I've done is wrong. Abandon that, he's gone. See? But you see this, man kana yuridul izzata, falillahi izzatu jamia. It belongs to Allah. Right? This is the whole trial, the whole examination. That do you assign it to Allah or you assign it to yourself? Right? Sometimes you may find some buzugan adin are talking something about themselves. This is what happened here, this is what happened here. Right? Sometimes you find Hakim Sahib saying something, all that. Right? Sometimes you may find. Now, you don't imitate that buzurg. Right? See, when that Sheikh has reached that fana'i tam, right? So, at that point, he's just a front, as though it's an inspiration that is talking behind him. He's just the front, and what's doing the talking is the inspiration. So he's just the front. It's as though Allah Pak is talking. As though. We cannot say that, because now you've got a crowd here. Just now you see, you're saying that Sheikh got wahi now. You don't get wahi, but you'll get an inspiration. Right? Now that, to understand that inspiration now, you require some understanding, right? Admiral Gangoi Hamdash used to say that if I was in the day of Mansur, then his head wouldn't have been chopped off. Had I been alive in the day of Mansur, who said Anal Haq, then his head wouldn't be chopped off. Right. So then he gave an explanation, but I'm giving it to my own words, right? That why his head wouldn't have been chopped off. He gave a story. A woman brought her little daughter to one saintly person that she can't see. So, just make her right. Just make her right. In other words, make dua or make her right. So that buzurg was in a different hal, in a different frame of mind. He just retorted, that was the work of Isa al-Islam. I am not Isa al-Islam. And he moved on. As he just moved on a few steps, then that inspiration came to him. That inspiration said, Isa kon, Musa kon, ma mi kunen. What said? Said, who's Isa and who's Musa? We make things happen. What? It's we that make things happen. Who's Isa and who is Musa? We make it happen. So when he received this inspiration, the sweetness of the inspiration is coming from Allah, right? So it's so sweet. It's so sweet and so enjoyable. That uncontrollable, he said, ma mi kunem, ma mi kunem. We make it happen. So, was he referring to himself or was he referring to the inspiration? Understand? So he was just a front. What was talking within him was the inspiration. So when you see a person like Hakim Sahib is talking something of himself, it's an inspiration. So you don't want to imitate him and don't you object, you see. Now that's the second thing. Sometimes you get deprived. One of the reasons of getting deprived is na zeba kalima, a word that was not right. Why did you say something that was not right? And sometimes you get deprived is when there is a mashayikh ahakha, right? True mashayikh. And you make atiras against them. You find faults with them. You find mistakes in them, weaknesses in them, faults in them. But they are mashayikh. Right. They are at a level that you aren't. You don't understand them. Now, with the story, you know, you understand this, right? This Buzurg is saying, Mami Kunem, Mami Kunem. But it's not him that is speaking. He's talking about the inspiration that he received, that sweetness. He was as though consumed the sweetness and involuntarily saying, Mami Kunem, Mami Kunem. Right? Like, to bring the same thing to your level, right? Right. Say, for example, Lapak Fubut, right? Say you got a girlfriend, right? You're mad in love, right? Right. And she just said one day, the cherry of my heart. Right. And she said it in a nice, sweet voice. I ask you, you'll just leave it or you'll repeat it the whole day? Huh? What will happen? You say, my pumpkin. Will you say that? You will just uncontrollably say, my cherry, cherry of my heart, my cherry. Won't you say that? You try to imitate her voice. Why? Why will you do that? That sweetness overtakes you. So if a simple little girl that's after some time is going to be filth and dirt, if that can consume you, then what will happen to Allah Ta'ala? Understand? You know what happens with death, right? She's filth, right? Nothing else. If she doesn't brush her teeth for 3 days, will you want to go close to her? She's filth, right? So, you know what's the end of this. And Allah Ta'ala, any comparison? There's no comparison. So if you're going to get that inspiration from Allah Ta'ala, then what? So that's why, either this type of buzuk, you don't go and listen to their talks. If your mind is weak, and you can't understand them, you don't know. That means you don't know their maqam. So you don't listen to them. So you're not going to make any atiras, and you won't find fault with them. Right? But in the event you have some understanding, then try and understand them in context. If you understand them in context, you're not making atiras. If you're not making atiras, then you won't be deprived. But this deprivation comes in when you find faults with this class of people. See, we talk of istidraj. What are the reasons for the collapse? Why do you fail? Why do you fall down? So he's of a different maqam, and you didn't understand him. And he will feel ashamed now to tell you that I am of that maqam. He'll feel embarrassed now. As the Shaykh Hamza himself says, for some time, I used to think now, you know, the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, then he writes about the beautiful experiences that he had, that I'm like this, and I'm this. So you should wonder, alright, we're not supposed to be praising ourselves. Why is this happening? Until he says, I got involved. And I, that means he came of that maqam fana'i'tam. And then he had to write about some of his own things. Because as though it's an instruction, talk about yourself. See, when there's that fana'i'tam, you reach that maqam. When you reach that maqam, Allah is instructing, do it. This fana comes after many years. 40, 50 years it comes. Just now you'll start thinking, it's now, I've also got that fana tam, so I could also, I'm getting inspiration, I can talk about myself. Yours is just imitation. It's just imitation. To go through the phases. Go through it, and then you will come there, inshallah. Allah pak willing, you come there. But straight you want to take a jump from here, this side, that side, it's like that mango that just emerged from the flower, you know, that it first flowers, and then the mango emerges, right? You see that small little thing. And when that thing emerges, and that's, you know, hey, I am a mango, I'm full grown. I got a mango flight. What do they say? Hey, you waste of time. What do they say that you waste of time? So you just emerged. You just emerged. You can't be talking about yourself that I am export grade, I am like this, you are. You should have to go. There'll be so many months for you to come to maturity. After maturity, then you will ripen. After ripen, then they'll select you, and then they'll box you, and then thereafter they will export you. Such a long phase. But now you just emerged, and someone was talking about this, so this little mango heard about this whole bayan. When he heard the bayan, so he said, no, I am also in that stage. So many times, people fall down because of atiraz against mashayikh haqq. Yeah, they are of that level, right? And you're not supposed to be talking against them. Unless it's something bayin, you know, if someone did zina, that's wrong. And he's provided also, he's persisting on that. He's doing wrong, and he's persisting on that wrong. That's a different thing. So that he won't be a mashayikh ahqa then. That's a different thing. But now, you see someone write like this, and he's talking like this, then he's gone through the whole thing, and at the end, where he's being inspired, so uncontrollable, he's saying some things that he would have not said. Just to make you understand. See, I explained about Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and that Niyaz said, Khuda se daro. Explain that story, right? And straight away he moved back. So that was one maqam, right? That was one maqam. Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he took a decision, and someone said the same thing, Ittaqillah. Now his response was, Hamare Rab se hame darate hai. Can you reconcile the sentence? Now this was exactly the statement that Abu Bakr Siddiq made. Hamare Rab se hame darate hai. So now he's at a different level. He's at a different level. Right? If you're gonna do something, you may just imitate. As Abu Bakr is at a different level, you are at a different level. You can't go and just imitate him straight away. Don't think you're at that level. To go through the whole phase, when you come there, naturally it will come out. That 4-5-year-old child, right, she wants to act like a mother. Right? She wants to grab the child. Mother will stop her, won't he? She's 4. She needs to be cuddled and taken. Right? And she wants to become the mother, she'll kill the child, right? She'll hold the child, she'll bust that child, she'll kill the child. Why? So, but I can also be a mother, she can be a mother, why can't I be a mother? But you haven't reached that maturity, responsibility, experience, you don't have it. So you can't be there. The Sunya has gone through the whole thing, she knows what it is like, she can handle it, you can't do it. You're going to imitate, you'll destroy. She will do it, she knows how to do it. So try and understand this. See, I showed you that istidraj, the second reason. One is kalemate nazeba. One is atiraz against the mashayikh haqqa. The third reason that they give is ghayrullah se shikwa karna, to direct your complaints to ghayrullah. You've got a problem now, and you are looking for solutions, but ghayrullah, not to Allah Ta'ala. I think a few days ago he read that story. See, the Shaykh's stories are very deep, but now, Hazrat is at that maqam, he's just writing it, he's carrying on. Right? He's writing it, for him it's nothing now, because he's past the thing. Now, for us it's such a great thing, but he is just, his pen is just moving. Agachalo, just it, move on. So it must have been, for him it must be such a simple thing. But for us it's such a great thing. Right? So he, I think a few days ago we read that story, where there were two people that were living in a desert somewhere. One was eating the grass and her and whatever roots, and the other had that experience where a deer used to come and he used to drink of its milk every day. So this person here is telling the deer person, you know, there's a caravan that has come in, you'll get some edibles there. In the words of our Abu Dur Rauf, eatables there. So he said, we'll go there and we'll get some eatables, good food and all that. So this person was reluctant first, but when he persisted, he gave in. When he gave in, they had a nice day, they had a nice time for that day. But after that, that deer experience was gone. And Hazrat Shaykh, now he writes the comment there. See, when your nazar, your sight moves away from Allah Ta'ala to ghayrullah, then maybe for the moment you will get some instant relief and happiness. Your mind, your heart, and your eyes move away from Allah to ghayrullah. For the moment you'll get some relief. Like, you know, you got this Jamaat story, right? You'll talk about it. Yeah, this guy did this. Hey, bang them. Yeah, they got no crowd. So when you talk about it, what will happen? For the moment, you'll find some satisfaction. Right? But then after that, you have to pay for it. So your sight has moved from Allah to ghayrullah. When it's from Allah to ghayrullah, now, for the moment you enjoyed yourself, you impressed the people, and you thought, now you're winning. Now after that, you have to suffer. Why did you turn your sight away from me onto ghayrullah? Now I must pay for it. And that thing may not come back. If it comes back, with a price after a long time. But the whole idea is by your sight mustn't turn away from Allah Ta'ala. That's the idea. So why did you refer your problem to ghayrullah? Now where he was getting that deer milk he was getting, and then he was gone, khalas, no more to come back. But what was the reason? That was the reason, isn't it? So these were the three reasons for bringing about this istidraj. One is nazeba kalima, right? And then mashayikh ke haqqa ke khilaf aitiraz karna. Some things, all right, they may do in a certain style. You don't have to find faults in them. Maybe you think in a different way. You carry on the way you think. But don't find faults in them. And the third, he says, is even more dangerous. Khuda se ghayrullah ki taraf nazar hat jana. Move away from Allah Ta'ala to ghayrullah. Now that whole help and that assistance that used to come from the unseen, that's shifted away from you. Allah bak tawfiq se kare.